Hello and welcome again to the podcast of the prestigious Astros blog, The Crawfish Boxes. I'm your host, Tim DeBlock, a.k.a. Timmy. Joining me is David Coleman, a.k.a. The Cyborg.
How's everybody doing?
And Sean Feist, a.k.a. Native Astro.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
So how was everyone's week?
It was a rough week, I'm not going to lie. Thursday night made it better, but other than that, it was a rough, rough week of Astros baseball.
Yeah, it certainly was. I just don't have any motivation to watch this team. I did get to see my Gamecocks win their second national championship, though, so it's kind of good to see good baseball again, and that kind of helped a little bit. But even after that, it's just tough to watch sometimes.
Nice to throw in that little Gamecock win, huh? Just a simple transition. Oh yeah, Astros baseball. Yeah, yeah, we won. You know,
I'm getting better at the transitions. And I actually didn't want to throw in, think about Jordan Lyles. If he had actually gone to college instead of signing with the Astros, he would have been pitching in that World Series. He would have pitched last year as well. And just thinking about what kind of pick he would have been this year. You know, he's going from a supplemental round to, a top 10 pick, possible top 5 pick in this year's draft. So I think it's kind of, even though he's drafting the supplemental round and he's up in the majors right now, I think that's something we got to keep in mind when looking at him, that he just now would be getting ready to start his contract talk with the Astros.
Yeah, and certainly he's been really good as an Astro. The results haven't been there. But when you factor in how old he is, and like you were saying, how he would be, a junior, I guess, in college right now and coming off two College World Series titles, he would be worth a lot more in the draft than I think he got when he signed with the Astros in the first place.
All right. Well, the other good thing is that if you haven't read our blog in, 3 or 4 days, we did win the Houston Web Awards for best sports blog, and David happened to actually show up and accept the award. You want to talk a little bit about that experience?
Sure. It was a really great experience. It's always good to be recognized by groups outside, the fan base and the readers who come to the site and the commenters, which for me, I've talked about this quite a bit. I talked about it a little bit in the Port Arthur News because they asked me to write about what Crawfish Boxes has meant for me. And it's the commenters, reading what people are writing about the Astros, seeing that there's other people that have similar viewpoints to you that are following the team in the same way, you can bitch about Brad Mills and his lineup selection with if you need to. That's really been the rewarding part for me. And I think, this award is just kind of an extension of that, of being that the kind of place that people can go to and talk about the Astros and, have a good environment for that. Now, the award ceremony itself was a little different. It was not built, I think, for sports fans so much as, the hipper, trendier people than I am. And I felt a little bit out of place, but it was a great experience and open bar, so you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever go wrong with free booze, right?
No, you can't. Did you show up overdressed? Like a tux?
No. I I'm a sports writer. I'm not going to wear a tie unless I absolutely have to. So, no, I didn't go with a tie. And I was a little more dressed up than some of the people there. But it was definitely, the hipster chic is big right now. And there were a lot of people there that were kind of on that line. And like I say, just much, much trendier than I am. And so that's a little intimidating when you're trying to hang out with these people. But it all went well.
Yeah, I saw the YouTube video for the awards, which I'll post with this podcast. Were they handing out like some kind of star glasses or something?
They were handing out koozies with Houston Press Web Awards on them, and then the award itself is kind of cool. It's a flexible can't think of the word right now, but it's a laptop carrier. And on one whole side of it is that logo, like the button we have on our site with the little space-suited guy. And it says, 2011 Houston Press Award winner. So that was really neat, and you know, it's something I can put my laptop in and take to the take around with me and kind of show off. Oh, did you see that I won this award here? Oh yeah, well I guess I could talk about it a little bit.
What is it, like a $10 bag?
Yeah, it's not very expensive at all, but it's the thought that counts, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's one of a kind. I don't think any other sports blog is me carrying that one around.
Not for this year, that's for sure.
So I asked David to get me some audio of his acceptance speech, and well, you can just listen and hear what I got.
Yeah, that was my wife. She was really enthusiastic about the whole proceeding and was holding what I was recording it with. So, yeah.
She have a drink in the other hand?
She did.
Well, that explains it. I'm sorry for anyone's eardrums I've blown out. All right, well, let's move on to my facepalm of the week. I had Chip Bailey in this position, but I've moved on to Brad Mills solely based on his lineup selection. Zach Lemon asked Brad Mills why Downs hadn't been given opportunities. Kepinger's been out sick. So I think it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today he had an opportunity to put Downs in, and instead he put in Angel Sanchez. But his comments were that he felt that Sanchez was the better fit at the number two hole. Sanchez's on-base percentage is .308. Downs, .379. I just don't understand that comment.
Yeah, it's definitely a brain scratcher. I can see where maybe he thought, you know what, like out of the two, if you're going to plug in Downs or Sanchez in that two hole, maybe you go with Sanchez because Downs is probably better suited for the bottom of the lineup. But if you're just going to pick one or the other, you got to go Downs, especially the way he's hitting lately.
379 in the two hole is what this team needs too.
Yeah, but they also need pop in the bottom half. Right.
Well, but you know, he did today, Sunday. He put Barnes in the two hole and Matt Downs in the five hole. Wouldn't you rather have more bats from Downs than you would from Barnes?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, is who do you want at the plate more often? And I think Matt Downs is one of the better hitters on the team right now. That's the guy you want to get more at bats. So believe me, I spend quite a bit of time thinking about lineups and who should play where. And Matt Downs, you got to get him high up in the lineup. I mean, he should be hitting every day anyway, and he certainly shouldn't be hitting, you know, sixth or seventh when this team struggles to score runs as badly as it does. I mean, does this not make sense? It's like I'm taking crazy pills. I just don't understand why you don't get a guy that can get on base and hit for power into the lineup and high in the lineup.
Well, some of this could be organizational, right? So if you look at like the track record of managers that we had from Mills to Cooper to Garner, they all kind of do similar things like this with the lineup. They're just it seems like from the outside looking in, they don't really have a clue. So you get the sense that maybe this isn't something that's more of the manager's choice, or more it's something maybe that could be organizational philosophy. I don't know. It's definitely a brain scratcher.
Well, that organizational philosophy, though, is, you know, that's what hires a manager. And I think, you know, I thought back to when it was the opening day when I think it was Phil Garner batted Adam Everett in the two hole.
Is that the same one where we had Chris Burke in center field?
Yeah, it may have been. I don't know. But that's just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, they take the two hole as like a sacrificial position where you want someone who can sacrifice bunt.
That's why I think it could be partly organizational, because Tal Smith, he's a real big speed guy. He's pitching on defense and speed at the top of the order. Not saying that Adam Everett is was one of the best burners that we had, but compared to everybody in the lineup, he definitely fits that mold a little bit more than anybody.
Yeah.
So Tal Smith trumps Ed Wade as setting organizational tone and philosophy. If that's true, then man, we're picking the wrong scapegoat and yelling at Wade and Mills the whole time, aren't we?
Well, that's what I think. Like, I think, all right, so I'm probably the biggest guy that gives Ed Wade the most grief out of everybody, well, out of a lot of people, right? But I just don't know how much things have changed from each general manager to, you know, from Jerry Hunsinger to Ed Wade to, you know, Tim Popoa, whoever, right? It seems to be the same consistent organizational philosophy that leaks down, you know, to the managers, to the coaches and things and so on.
Well, Hal Smith's been with the team for a long time, so I don't think that's unfounded. That
and there's there's the one constant over the years is Hal Smith.
So how do you evaluate Brad Mills? I mean, it's got to be hard for Jim Crane to come in and whoever he picks to run his front office to think about that, right? What is Brad Mills? Is he the guy that came from a Boston organization that valued things like on-base percentage, number of pitches per at-bat, you know, the patience? Or is he the guy that's fit into this Astros mold of hit everything you see and on-base percentage doesn't matter as long as you've got a high batting average? That's what we've seen since the Miguel Tejada days, you know? And that drives me crazy, and it's not changing. So is that Tal Smith that's doing that, or is that Brad Mills? Does he buy into that? Is that why he got hired, because he thinks the same way? It's really frustrating.
No, I agree. It's completely frustrating. I think these are organizational philosophies that coaches buy into, and they choose guys like that. Look at Manny Acta. I mean, he was basically given the job and said, nope. Sorry, I'm going to go to greener pastures. You know,
3 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of it too is if you're weighing the Indians organization to the Astros organization, which one's a little bit closer to rebounding, right?
Well, a year ago, I don't know if Cleveland really looked all that much, you know, closer than the Astros were.
Yeah, but I mean, their farm system's in a little bit better shape than ours.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody.
Yeah, it's.
Well, and I think it was, you know, I think Brad Mills was hired because of his philosophy, and it aligned with Tal Smith, Ed Wade.
Well, and if that's the case, then I think he's probably not long for this team, because I definitely think that there's going to be some shift in management strategy, management philosophy, the direction of this team once Jim Crane comes in.
I hope so.
That's why I think, yeah, when Jim Crane comes in, he's probably the one guy that is safe for at least a year. You know, once, you know, Tal Smith and the other front office are taken out of the equation, I'm sure Jim Crane will evaluate Brad Mills for at least a year just to see, you know, how his management philosophy is compared to maybe an organizational philosophy.
Well, and I wanted to talk a little more about Brad Mills, too. I mean, he seems like he's building his lineup like he has Boston's team. You know, he sticks with a lot of veteran guys, and, you know, the kids don't seem to get as much time. You know, they don't get their time playing. They sit a lot more. I mean, right now the Astros should be evaluating, but Mills is putting together a lineup like it's the Boston Red Sox. At least that's how I feel.
And that's why I go back to the organizational philosophy, because Cooper did that, Garner did that, and so on. Right, yeah. They favor the vets over the young guys, and you're right. Right now, we should be evaluating. There's like, all right, so there could be alternative things going on right now. Like maybe they're trying to give Carlos Lee more playing time to sell him as a first baseman, you know, for a possible trade that it's probably never going to happen. But they just keep on maybe showcasing him at first base.
That actually hasn't bothered me as much as it did last year, and that could just be because I'm about a step away from stepping off the Brett Wallace bandwagon, but you know, that hasn't bothered me as much as it did last year. One thing that does bother me is he seems like there's one game where they'll have like Thursday, I think. Yeah. When they finished the series with the Rangers, they scored 7 runs. And that's one when Angel Sanchez has gotten a start. And because they scored a bunch of runs, Mills bases his next lineup on that one game. And we'll construct a lineup for the next 2 or 3 games based on that one lineup, when he should really be taking the whole season to account. You know, they get like lucky with one lineup where they score 7 runs, and then he sticks with that lineup until it's not producing anymore.
Yeah, and that's a valid point, but it's also Angel Sanchez, who Mills has shown time and again that he is loyal to or in love with or has dirty pictures of Mills that he's getting into in the lineup, you know, by blackmail. I don't know, but he's got this fascination with Angel Sanchez as a hitter, so he tries to get him in the lineup as often as possible. And, you know, if Matt Downs really is as bad defensively that he can't justify starting him over Sanchez, then the Astros have some problems. But I certainly haven't seen it, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, when you're giving him starts at shortstop, he's not all that bad defensively. Because they gave him a start at shortstop last week.
Exactly. So why not get him in the lineup instead of Sanchez? Oh, right, because Mills is – I don't think it's so much that he doesn't play younger guys and plays vets. I think it's he likes players and plays the guys he's more familiar with. You know, he's got his guys and not. That's kind of what they accused Brad Arnsberg of, but I think Mills is more to blame with that.
Yeah, a lot of it probably goes back to, you know, Brad Mills' days back in Boston where Angel Sanchez was in the system. So there is that familiarity right there. But yeah, it just, I don't know, it gets old after a while.
It gets very old, especially when you have someone like Matt Downs tearing the cover off the ball and this team's looking for ways to score runs and he's continually sit, even when they had the perfect opportunity with Keffinger sick. Now, I will be fair here and say that I heard on the radio today that Mile was saying Downs wasn't feeling all that well, but I would have thought that Brad Mills would have brought that up instead of saying that Sanchez was a better two-hole hitter.
So the puzzling thing is, with even with Keppinger out and say Matt Downs out is or he could have been sick, right? You know, why didn't the one person that doesn't really sit all that much is CJ, right?
Yeah.
If they're gonna rotate the infield, then rotate the full infield, not just between up the middle.
Well, see, that's the other confusing part is because CJ is one of the younger guys as well. He had one good half last year, and he's obviously struggled to begin the year, but they're giving him every opportunity to play, and they're actually giving him more opportunity than they've given Wallace, Tolles, Downs, just about everybody else. And you know, maybe that goes back to the Boston connection where he's Ron Johnson's kid, so Brad Mills is kind of doing a favor.
Yeah, I just think like where the Astros are at right now, they're in no shape or form, or they're at no point where they should be, you know, favoring anybody. Just play the best that's best players right now and evaluate the youth.
Okay, so what's your guys' ideal lineup then?
Oh, on the spot. I don't know. I mean, I think we can just go down the list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dave, who you got in the one? I mean, I'm sure. I don't think this one's really up for debate. It's Bourne, probably.
Yeah.
You guys don't like Bourgeois starting it off?
Well, do we have the option to have Bourgeois on the lineup and healthy? I mean, since he's on the DL and, you know, gets hurt every other week, it seems like.
No, and you can't bench Carlos Lee either.
Ah, come on!
No. He's actually been hitting well. I mean, let's be honest here. For his bad season last year, he's rebounded pretty good. I mean, his powers numbers aren't anywhere near what they were, but, you know, he's hitting better than last year.
But what's his on-base percentage?
I don't know.
It's up this month. I mean, it's not great, but it's up this month.
Yeah, it wasn't like 2 weeks ago he took like 8 walks in a week.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of for him.
Yeah, it's all relative, though. It's 321, and he has 24 walks this season. So he is third on the team in total walks, but that's not saying very much at all.
Right. Yep.
But hopefully another team, maybe in the AL, it will be. Hopefully.
I'm putting Pence in the two hole.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know if he's probably. So on this team, I don't know. On a different team, on a championship team, yeah, he's maybe a two or a six hole hitter.
He's probably more of a five hole hitter on a.
Yeah.
Competitive team, but you know,
I don't know. I could see him being a second hitter, and because of his speed more than anything, you know, he doesn't have enough speed to steal bases, so they don't want to put him lead off or something like that. But you do want to get that bat up there because he can, you know, stretch the base and get you a little something if you need to.
Well, and here's my reasoning is I want to get him as many at-bats as possible because he is probably the most productive and most proven bat on this lineup right now. You know, Carsley's in a decline. Bourne wasn't around. I think he's got a year on Bourne. Wallace is still coming into his own. You know, Downs, but he's, you know, he's coming off the bench right now. He's still got something to prove.
Well, why don't you put Wallace in the second in spot and bat Pence third? You're still going to get the same number of at-bats for Pence, maybe one or two less over the course of a season. But, I mean, Wallace, he doesn't have the power to be that middle-of-the-order threat, but he's got the on-base percentage to get on base. Yeah, so you get him up there, you get him on base, and let Pence or whoever else knock him in.
I'm doing the lefty-righty thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Come on, Brad Mills, come on.
Well, it's a valid when, you know, you've got Bourne who struggles against lefties. All you have to do in the late innings is bring in two lefty, and you've got Bourne and Wallace to face. And
I don't think it really matters. It really matters because he benches Wallace in the later later innings anyway. So you take out Wallace and put in J Mike. That's a righty. So you have lefty righty again.
Right. No, I mean would be okay to say that Pence or Wallace would flop. I mean, I like Pence in the tool, but you know, it's going to be Bourne, Wallace, and Pence in some.
Yeah, the only reason I like moving Pence down a spot is just that third spot in the order seems like he's got more of a chance to impact innings and give the Astros, you know, some crooked numbers on the scoreboard. Whereas in the batting second, you know, he's going to have that, but he's not going to necessarily have the guys like Bourne and Wallace in front of him that can get on base enough for him to really make an impact the same way.
Yeah, I like the difference of rather there's two on rather than there's one on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's just say Bourne gets a slap single. He's on first. He's still second. They walk Wallace, which, you know, he walks at a pretty high clip, and then you have Hunter up in the three hole, you know, with two people on rather than just one.
Okay. So.
And that's the reason that RBIs aren't really valid, right? That's why we don't like those to judge whether a hitter's good, is because you can't control who's on base ahead of him. But in this situation, you can put your best hitter in the lineup in a situation where he can drive those runs in, thus kind of creating a vicious circle of, well, what came first, the RBI opportunity or the RBIs?
Okay, so who's two hole since I've been overruled on the Pens?
I like Wallace there, but I'm open to suggestions.
I'm concerned about Wallace's speed in the two hole there. Uh-huh.
Well, that's what I think. Like, you know, you bring up a good point. Maybe that's the Astros' outlook on that situation as well. Maybe they're not looking on on-base percentage. You know what? Maybe they want, you know, us, you know, high-speed guys at the top of the order. But it doesn't really make a lot of. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense when they put Barnes at.
Right.
Or Sanchez. I mean, he's not fast either. So.
Right. No, well, I'm pretty sure Quintero can beat both those guys in a foot race.
Well, would you guys prefer Downs then, or? Well, I guess I'd prefer Downs, but
the ideal scenario is that you've got Bourgeois available in left field so that you can play him, put him in that second spot, and then you've got the speed and you've got some on base skills to complement Bourne.
Right, but then you're taking Wallace out of the equation.
Or Lee, one of the two.
No, you're taking Wallace. I know what you would choose. We're trying to stay within the parameters of what the Astros would. So who's in the two hole? You guys want Wallace in the two hole?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean, you cool with that?
Yeah, for this year.
Okay.
Next year, I might throw my vote for Castro, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Well, okay. One last thing about the second spot in the order. What do you think of Kepinger hitting there? I know he doesn't have the on base that some of the other guys do, but he gets hits. You know, he can move guys around, and you know, he gets on base better than some of the other people in the lineup. So if you were not going to put Wallace there because he's slow, do we put Kepinger there over the other choices?
Yeah,
you know what,
I like that. That's a good point. I completely forgot about Kepinger, which isn't surprising. I guess I'm in the Astros mindset because they seem to forget about Kepinger as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like Kepinger in the two hole as well because, well, he also sees a lot of pitches. Mm-hmm. And so for the guys below him or behind him in the order, that only helps their, you know, at bats. I think Kepinger sees out on average at least what I'm just guessing here, but between like anywhere between 3 and 5 pitches of AB.
Yeah, I don't think that's.
Yeah, that's. I mean, don't look up that statistic, but like.
Yeah.
That's just a pure guess, but.
Yeah, he sees a lot. Yeah, he sees a lot of pitches, which is ideal for someone like Bourne to try and steal a base. Okay, so we've got Bourne, Kepinger, Pence. Who's the fourth? Wallace.
Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly lean more towards Wallace there than anybody else.
Well, like if we're going Kepinger two, I might be more inclined to put Wallace in the 3 hole and then Pence in the 4 hole.
Because but you see, get the problem there is you don't get Pence up in the first inning, and I think that's something you definitely need to get as many at bats for him as possible. So I wouldn't drop him past the third spot.
That's a good point. You know what? For the 4 hole, if we're gonna switch it up a little bit. I don't know where he would play, but why not Matt Downs in the 4 hole?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Why don't you like that?
So, well, to be honest, I'd rather just have Lee in the 4 hole.
What?
Yeah. I do think there is a little bit of something to the idea that veterans should be hitting in the 3 or 4 spot.
Wait a minute. Did Ed Waite slip you a 20 just now?
Maybe.
You know, Tim, some days you're getting on Jay Austin because his on-base percentage is so low. And then other days you're saying Brett Wallace can't bat fourth because he's not a veteran player who's been in those situations before. You need to make up your mind just what kind of fan you are, and then we can talk about this.
Well, we'll have another podcast in regards to that. You can just rip on me.
Saber intervention.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. You know what? Wallace isn't a bad idea in the 4 hole either for me.
Well, and you know, you were talking a little bit about lefty-righty matchups. If you put Wallace in the 4 hole and then Lee in the 5 spot, then you've got that righty-lefty-righty with Pence, Wallace, Lee, that kind of, you know, late in the game, if the heart of your order is coming up, you can't bring in a lefty or a right-hander to pitch to 2 straight batters, you know? It really would mess up somebody like Tony La Russa.
Well, how far down are we going to push Lee? Because we can put Wallace in the 4 hole, and then we can put Downs in the 5 hole, and we've got Lee batting 6. You know, what's that do to his trade value?
His trade value is non-existent. He's making $36 million over the next 2 years. He's not getting traded. I've longed for a Lee trade for so long. I'm not going to. It's like I'm Stockholm syndromed into liking the guy now and think he's just going to stay on the team forever.
Yeah.
He's going to become the next, you know, Brad Ausmus isn't the next manager. It's going to be Carlos Lee. He's just going to slide over into a player manager role there.
All right. Well, let's make a decision here.
Well, we've got a problem. If we want Matt Downs in the lineup, where do we put him?
Third base.
Instead of Chris Johnson?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, I'm okay with that too. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yes. I think, you know, we have to find out what we have with Downs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think he gives us the best chance to win.
Well, I think eventually we will, like you know, we discussed last week, if Jeff Kepinger gets traded, he's probably the more likely replacement at second base. So I'm sure.
You mean Angel Sanchez is?
And I doubt that. I think he's fine. I think he would fill that Kepinger role of yours, last couple of years, where he's more of a super utility. That is his more suited role.
But then you lose Downs off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those late inning at bats.
Oh, man. What are we going to do?
Yeah. How many opportunities did the Astros have on those? Yeah. Well, I guess a lot since they're always down. So depends on how you look at it. All right.
Wait. So then you're taking the bat out of J Mike's hand. So it's just.
It's true.
Dang. That's.
You know what? And one of the things, to get off topic a little bit, is I think Angel Sanchez kind of fits that late inning pinch hitting role better than some of the other guys on the roster. I think that's probably, and I think that's the best utilization of him. I don't think you want to give him 3 or 4 bats a game.
That's why I say it, like he's more of a platoon player that could play like every, you know, 3-4 days, and like a spot start, but and yeah, and come off the bench in late innings.
Well, before these last few days, I almost forgot that he was on the roster because he hadn't been getting any kind of starts or any kind of pinch hit at bat.
Yeah, it'd probably been like I'd say a good week before he got any playing time.
Yeah,
I think
it's definitely since Kepinger came back, but I think that's just how Mills likes his lineups. Like, he likes to have a guy late in the game that he can put in anywhere on the infield, and so he's not going to use Sanchez as his pinch hitter.
Okay, so let's fourth hole.
Like I say, I'm going with Brick.
Sean?
I agree.
Okay, we'll go with Brick. So Bourne, Kep, Pence, and Brick. Who's betting fifth now?
Downs.
I'm cool with that. We'll go with Downs. And then who?
And Lee batting sixth.
Lee batting sixth. Seventh would be Barnes.
See, I would like to plug the catcher in here just so that you can put Barnes as the eighth hitter. Because I think Barnes is more likely to get a hit before the pitcher or get on base some way than any of the catchers are running out there. And I think that's valuable. You know, making sure you turn that lineup over and get the pitcher up in an inning is better than having, you know, J.R. Toll strike out and having Bud Norris lead off the next inning, you know?
Unless Barnes uses his pull power.
Yeah. 20 home runs.
Sean, you have anything to say to that? Catcher or shortstop?
I'd probably go Barnes. It depends. You know, Lee tends to get on base a little bit more, so I'd rather have Barnes batting behind him than J.R. Tolles.
Okay. Yeah, so David, you've been overruled, David.
That's fine.
So then we'll go catcher, unless you guys want to go with Tony La Russa and put the pitcher in there.
Now, unless it's Jay Hub, then we might think about it.
Because he's hitting better than any of the catchers on the roster.
I missed his last start. Did he get a couple more hits?
I don't think so. No.
I know he got beat up
on
the mound, but okay, I have no idea why I'm writing this down, but we've constructed our lineup.
I feel good about this lineup.
And that, ladies and gentlemen,
7 runs in a game.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you get off topic on the crawfish boxes.
No, I had it in my show notes. It was in there. You've got to scroll down a little bit.
That's also an important note for all you listeners out there. He has show notes.
Got to keep it on track.
We don't get to go off topic.
So, yeah, I feel good about that lineup. Anyone that wants to send in their own lineup can email the show at thecrawfishboxes@gmail.com. Or you can just scream at us for being idiots.
I need to try to get Steven back here. He was the king of using the Tom Tango's The Book method for constructing a lineup. See what he can make out of this mess that is this team.
Well, you know, I think we've gone from, you know, 2.5 runs a game to 3 runs a game.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe 2.9.
And, you know, that's kind of why I feel bad about bagging on Mills for his lineup, because he's just...
I don't.
He's given nothing to work with.
Right.
Look at this lineup. It's awful.
Yeah, but like I said, I think he's still, you know.
I agree that he's got room to be criticized. I just feel bad about criticizing him.
It just seems like he's grasping for straws. He doesn't seem like he has any idea what he's doing with the lineup. Well, you know, and that's a little too cruel. He has an idea. You know, he's been in the major leagues for a very long time. But it just seems like he's grasping with straws, and Sanchez betting the two hole just. That's a facepalm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of this, yeah, a lot of this could just be simply where the Astros are at right now, you know, in the middle of a sell, right? A lot of these guys are just, they're basically, let's call it what it is, they're showcasing for a job.
Well, and you know, I was also thinking about this. If Mills had actually a good lineup, he'd probably be just fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he had Boston's lineup, that's the easy part. It's when you've got a lineup like the Astros that it begins to get tough and you really get scrutinized quite a bit.
Well, and, you know, that goes back to the thinking about Matt Downs. You know, is he a guy that can legitimately play if given playing time and put up these same numbers? Yeah. Or is he a guy like Billy Spires who's best in, you know, picking his spots off the bench and using his skills to maximizing his skills by picking his at-bats like that? And I personally think he needs to be given more playing time because of his track record. But, you know, that's something to think about. Maybe Mills is using him the right way that you would use him on a contender. We're just so bad that we need that bat in the lineup, and so it sticks out a little more to us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you've got to find that out, especially on a bad team. Mm-hmm. But it just seems with the sale of the Astros that everyone within the organization, top to bottom, is just trying to find that extra win. They can't afford to lose any games. So, you know, they're calling up Jordan Lyles to pitch in the majors. But
the really disappointing thing about that is I'm looking at Baseball Reference right now to kind of when we were constructing the lineups to look at the stats. And I'm seeing the ages on the players that he's got to work with so far. We're not talking young guys. This isn't a bad team with no talent that has some upside. These guys are all 27, 28, 30, 35, 36. You know, these are not young guys. This is not a growing team. This is just a bad team, you know? And until we start getting some of these guys up from the minors, I think that it's just going to be bad and fans are going to be disenchanted, go through that dead arm period like you were talking about earlier, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the thing. Like, until we get those players up from the minors, right, this is just going to be a team that struggles. But as we've gone over in previous podcasts, there's not really a lot at that high level that's going to jump in and help, right? You know, some could argue that maybe the guys that are down at AA, JD Martinez, Jose Altuve, and Jimmy Paredes could help, right? But who's to say those guys aren't ready yet?
Well, and, you know, if your second baseman's going to hit 230, do you call him up? I'd rather see Jose Altuve hit 180 or 190 as he learns the big leagues than to have a 30-year-old hit 220 in at second base. And I know that's a little extreme and probably wouldn't happen, but it's the concept. I want somebody that I can pull for and know that we're building for the future with, not somebody that is just, you know, running out the string until next year when maybe we can bring these guys up because they're far enough along.
That just goes back to, you know, this organization is just a mess right now. Mm-hmm. They're just scrambling.
Hey, you guys aren't helping me watch any more games with that kind of attitude.
Just get the minor league pass. You can start watching Corpus Christi games. You'll feel a lot better about being a fan.
I've started to be tempted to start watching The Bachelor with my wife instead of an Astros game.
Yeah.
There's always it's always sunny in Philadelphia is on at the same time as the games.
On to the All-Star selections were made today, and we found out Hunter Pence was named the Astros representative for the All-Star team. But first, though, I mean, do you guys really care if there's an Astros representative?
No, I don't. I usually try to watch the All-Star game, but at this time of year, I'm honestly one of those people that's more interested in watching the Home Run Derby and the Futures game rather than caring about what's going on in the actual All-Star game.
Yeah, the All-Star game, I have no really stock in it. It's more of a showcase for the fans than anything.
But it determines home field advantage. What are you talking about? Showcase for the fans.
And that helps us how?
Sean, I don't know if you've heard, but this time it means something.
Yes, it means something. It's a meaningful game.
All right. So is that going to determine where we watch it from at home?
Yes, it does. And it determines whether we should get Michael Bourne or Hunter Pence in there.
Yeah, you know. Congrats to Hunter for making the team because he is having a great year. It's sad that guys like Bourne, who's having a blow the radar great season.
Yeah,
I think I get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read on Levin's article today that I think Bourne was rated the fourth best outfielder according to FanGraphs, and Hunter Pence was like the 13th.
I mean, from the outside looking in, Hunter's probably got the better numbers if you look at them, like,
mm-hmm.
But so I would argue that Michael Bourne's probably having just as good as of a season.
Well, especially defensively, you know, covering that Minute Maid, the vast Minute Maid center field really helps his value.
And his base running too is off the charts this year.
He is, yeah, he is. I mean, they're both of them are actually, you know, they're heading to the prime of their careers. So this is, you know, isn't surprising that they're actually having career years.
Well, that's gonna suck during arbitration.
Yeah.
What does it matter though? I mean, this team isn't spending money on anybody else. Why not spend money on these two guys?
And, yeah, Bourne is gonna get paid. Guys that hit home runs. Driving drive-in runs, guys that steal bases get paid during arbitration.
You're also assuming that they're going to be around for arbitration.
I'm trying to be positive. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if any of these guys get traded, but I'm trying to be positive.
Well, and you know, I don't know how the rotation's going to break down, but I guess it's a good thing that the National League didn't pick whoever the Astros pitcher was that would have been on pace to not be able to pitch in the game, because it's, you know, they've got that rule that if he's pitched within 2 days of the event, he can't appear in the game. And so they'll just select somebody off the Phillies instead to fill the spot, and no Astros will actually be at the game.
Did you guys think anyone else was deserving other than Bourne or Pence? Maybe one of the pitchers like Norris or Rodriguez?
You know what? Norris has had, I'd say, is what? The first month, he didn't really have all that great of a, I think, a month of April. But his last 2 months have been really good.
Yeah, and I think that the only reason somebody like Bud Norris wouldn't have a shot at going to this game is just because the pitching is so ridiculously deep this year. You know, everybody is doing well pitching-wise. And so Norris is having a breakout season and is one of the best pitchers on the Astros staff. But he's still maybe the 20th, you know, 30th best pitcher in the league. So it's hard to get him onto that team. Whereas Pence is maybe the best hitter on the team. Bourne is the best all-around player. And they play at a position in the outfield that there aren't as many stars at right now, so that they can sneak in a little easier.
So you don't think Rodriguez would have had a shot?
I don't know. I mean, he's certainly been good enough to have a shot. But like I say, I think he runs into the same problem that Norris does, but is even worse because his gaudy numbers are things like, you know, ERA. And yeah, that usually gets noticed, but it's not low enough to compete with the best guys in the league.
Right. And the one thing that annoys me about the All-Star voting is it only takes into account 2 months of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't go back and look at the previous season. And, you know, we've heard the numbers on Rodriguez lately where he's got, like, the fourth lowest ERA in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. But, yeah, the All-Star game is just, I mean, but there's really no better place to really put it. You know, I read a Fangraphs article about putting it at the beginning of the season. You know, do you put in the postseason and just have, you know, there's obviously issues there. One, the cold. Two, most of your star players are going to be playing in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, you get the World Baseball Classic in the springtime.
Oh, yeah. I know I've got that on my calendar.
You don't watch that?
I do, but it's not like an event. I help probably care less about it than I do about the actual All-Star game, which is saying something.
I actually care more about the World Baseball Classic than the All-Star game. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it's just interesting to see a different format where you've got countries versus countries. You know, obviously USA is going to be the favorite team because that's where a lot of the talent is. But, you know, it was like North Korea won or something last time.
And I will say I'm interested. I don't know if you saw the thing that the World Baseball Classic is extending its qualifying rounds or something. And so there'll be like 64 new countries or maybe just 32 new countries added to the process, which is cool. Like I think one of my problems was I didn't think it was like enough of a sampling of the world's teams to really matter. But now, you know, if it's the same 8 teams that come out of it, at least you can feel a little better. Like, hey, well, at least there were 32 other teams that tried to compete and get in there.
Right. Well, and USA hasn't even won the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. Think about it. It was Japan, I think, the first year, and South Korea won South Korea either won the gold in the Olympics or they won the World Baseball Classic the second time. I can't remember.
Well, that just goes to, like, it. I mean, we're not really sending, for the majority, we don't really send our best players.
Yeah, that's
a,
not
a lot of our best players just opt out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Oswald opted out the first time, and then the second time around, for whatever reason, he decided to pitch in it.
You know, getting back to the All-Star game a little bit, one of the things that I think it's never really been a big deal for me, the All-Star game, is because Houston has had such terrible, like, luck or success in the All-Star game. The players have never really done anything meaningful. You know, they've never had an MVP of the game, or I don't even think they've had a winning pitcher in the game. And that doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's, at the same time, it stands out. You know, there haven't been a whole lot of All-Star worthy moments for Houston to pin their hopes on, which I may be giving away a little too much considering I'm doing a top 10 All-Star moments this week. But it's really just, there's not that much of a history to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you can even look at the last 2 years. Pence didn't even get into the game the first time he was at the All-Star game. And then last year, Bourne came in as a ninth inning defensive replacement. He didn't even get in a bat.
Yeah, he did. He struck out and won at bat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that, but it's telling that you didn't even remember that, you know?
Yeah. But you guys don't think Brett Wallace should have gone to the All-Star game? Richard Justice did. And I'm picking on Richard Justice here.
How long ago did Richard Justice think that?
About a month and a half ago.
He changes his mind every other day, so.
That was a little while ago, probably about a month ago.
Yeah, you may not even remember he did that.
Yeah, a month ago maybe you could have made the argument that Wallace, you know, I think he was, a month ago he was still around 320, the upper or the lower 300s. Now he's like, 288, 288? He's dipping. I mean, you could have made a case for it over a month ago, but nah.
You mean he's doing what we predicted?
Mm-hmm.
Lowering his batting average on balls in play?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, give the kid some playing time. Come on. Give him some consistent playing time. This every other day platoon, it's got to be getting out of psyche a little bit.
Yeah, I've just...
That's why I think they're teetering on the J.R. Tolles Hanlon just a little bit with Wallace.
No, he would have been sent down already.
To double A.
You know what? If they're going to sit him like this, send him down. I think that would almost be better than just playing him every 3 days.
Well, and see, this is my whole argument about why it was stupid for them to even trade for Brett Wallace in the first place, because they had someone they could have put at first base. You know, Lee could have been playing at first base, and we could be seeing Bourgeois on that field on a regular basis, or Bogusevic out in the, you know, left field on a regular basis, and... You know, we won't be. It'd still be a bad team, but at least we wouldn't be griping about balls falling in front of Lee.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't be griping about it. We'd be griping about balls getting past Lee at first base. You know what? Like the ball, somebody hit a single to first base, and he couldn't run over in time.
Yeah, he tripped the other night when he.
You know what? As much as we bag on that guy, he's still a pretty athletic guy. I saw that play. He tripped, recovered, and still made the toss. Yep.
Hit Carpenter on the run. Mm-hmm.
So if you hear that, Cleveland Indians, I know you want to. Is a guy you can plug right in the middle of the lineup?
Yeah, nope. I think the Phillies are looking for a right-handed bat.
You know what? I doubt Carlos Lee gets moved. If he did, it's going to have to be whenever Jim Crane takes over.
I don't even think. I think at that point it's just like, well, might as well finish out the contract.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he's got to have a bounce back season.
He's producing a little bit now.
Yeah, but I mean,
so if you were ever going to move him, now would be the time.
I think he's got to hit better for them to move him.
I mean, somebody's got to eat. They got to eat the contract to move him. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, unless they can figure out a way for Kenny Williams to take him.
Even Kenny's not that bold.
Yeah, are you going to send Carlos Lee a brown box with something from Mexico or Russia in it so that he can hit a little better? Because I think he's hitting about as well average and on-base-wise as he's going to hit. It's just the power in there.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, too, is like veteran guys, once they in their later part of their career, that have a big, long stride, just for whatever reason, they do not like to shorten up their swing.
Mm-hmm.
and they just don't have the bat speed anymore to catch up to, you know, the fastballs that are just pounded up and in.
Yeah, I think that's what they've talked about this year, that he's had to adjust to just his bat speed being slow, and he's had to cut down on his movement when he's getting ready to hit.
Yeah, he's got a long stride. I mean, he's got that front leg kick that just, he goes from open to close, real big leg kick, and it's just, and he's got a really long swing. So all that together, it just, it's a recipe for failure.
Are horse steroids illegal?
I don't even know if that's something we should get into.
What I was going to ask is, do we have to pay his contract if he gets busted for steroids?
I think the Dodgers still owe Manny Ramirez.
Do they?
I think so. Are you saying that we're going to slip Carlos Lee like some little steroids and like his egg McMuffin in the morning or something?
I would never say that for anyone in the Houston area that may be serving Carlos Lee something.
No. No. I don't know. I really don't know if I'd assume they'd get suspended without pay, but I don't know.
Are we really talking about the what would happen about if somebody gets caught with horse steroids?
If we frame Carlos Lee with steroids, would we have to pay the contract? Is what we're talking about right now.
Sorry, no one listens to the contract. Nothing to worry about.
Put that in your outline.
Yeah. Next week we'll talk about Carlos Lee and how to get him busted for steroids. I've got a headache now. So
one thing I did want to talk about before we go, Tim.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at it today, and it's been 20 days since George Springer. We're recording this on Sunday, and it's been 20 days since George Springer was eliminated from the College World Series. And the last time the Astros had a player this high profile that they drafted this high that was in the College World Series, or, you know, in the process, it took him 21 days to sign Jason Castro from the date he was eliminated. So does George Springer... Yeah, does he get signed this week is what I'm asking.
I don't know. Are they focusing on international free agents? Isn't that the period this week?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like they're too. I mean, they signed one guy so far.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Springer's agent?
I do not know.
I can't remember, but I remember his agent saying that he was going to probably hold Springer out as long as possible. But if I was at Houston Astros, I would just make a full court press and try to sign George Springer as soon as possible. I mean, this organization needs a little nice PR hit.
I think you guys can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but it seems like the minor leagues, the players that they have gotten into the system right now, they seem to be off to a pretty good start and better than it has been in the last 3 years. I mean, there seems like multiple guys off to a good start.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's kind of why I was asking and thinking about it, because I was looking at Jason Castro and what he did in the minors and after he signed. And, you know, he got to AA pretty quickly after he, you know, was in the minor league system. And I think that was partly because he was able to sign relatively quickly and get that experience in his first season. And if we go to the wall with Springer until August 15th, he's not really going to get a chance to play at all this year. So that's going to put him behind, you know, 6 months or so in his timetable of getting to the big leagues.
Well, then you have that DDJ type scenario where mm-hmm. DDJ did the same thing, and look what it did to his development.
But they're also completely different players. I mean, Springer's coming off a college run. You know, he's the kind of guy that can move quickly because I think he's a little more advanced than DDJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's all going to be up to what George Springer wants to do. It seems like from what I've read, it seems like he really likes playing baseball. So if he wants to get and play this year, then he's going to have to sign before that August 15th date. If mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't mind sitting out a season, maybe he is a little bit banged up from the College World Series, and he doesn't mind taking his last summer off and, you know, kind of hanging out. you know, we'll see a signing on August 15th, but, you know, that's still on him, and only he's going to know how long it's going to take for them to sign him. So who would you guys take, George Springer or Jason Castro?
It's Springer, no question.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Okay. But that's not saying I'm not a big Jason Castro fan.
I think we're all Jason Castro fans for the moment, for the time being.
Oh my gosh, do you know how much I miss Jason Castro when I watch the catchers that the Astros have right now?
I don't think you're alone in that. I think, but I'm still worried because he's had, you know, just catcher knee injury don't seem to mix.
Yeah. And he's also a bigger guy, and that that and catchers don't go together anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, if you move him off, I don't, you know, if you move him off catcher, I don't know if he has the bat to stick anywhere. So it's a bit disconcerting. So has anyone been to a game recently at Minute Maid Park?
No, I mean, I live in Northern California, so I only get to go
what the heck?
Once a year.
Chop chop.
Dude, I got a pregnant wife. She's not letting me anywhere out of her sight. It's funny. Our due date is, I think, 11-11-11, and I have my best friend's wedding is 11-12. So I'm already getting grief over that. You're not going nowhere.
Well, it's good you had one in the off season.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been too busy working and moving and everything else, getting my life situated over here in Port Arthur, than to go to a game so far.
I was just curious to see how our Mark the Shark theme song campaign was going. I'd really like to see him get the Jaws soundtrack in there, and we really need to be pushing that.
I think so too. That would be awesome.
Isn't that something we could reach out to you know, Farmstros for? I think he came up with a song for Jose Altuve.
Yeah, but he only does minor leaguers.
Yeah, we need Footer to get on board.
Okay, so everyone start tweeting Footer that Mark Melanson needs Jaws for his theme music when he comes out of the bullpen.
Should we explain that that's his nickname? I mean, is that nickname caught on sufficiently that she would understand Mark the Shark needs Jaws as his, or should they tweet, hey, his nickname should be Mark the Shark, and he should have the Jaws theme as he comes out.
I don't think either way you go, it's probably okay.
I don't know. It's kind of like the Matrix preview. Tell them everything, or do you want them to try and go and try to figure it out?
Uh huh.
Well, I can hardly wait to see this podcast recap. In this week, they talk about Matrix recap, horse tranquilizers.
It's horse steroids, not tranquilizers.
What's the difference? I mean,
we don't want to put them down. A fly ball goes left field, and Carlos Lee's asleep. What's that sticking out of his neck?
Yeah, you can't bring outside food or beverages in, but somebody's going to gun in.
Is that the guy at, maybe the guy with the really big mustache by the Crawford box has had a bull dart in his mustache? He can maybe fool other people, but he's not fooling me with that mustache.
Is that not the best mustache you've ever seen?
It's a pretty good mustache.
You know, like, have you seen that ESPN commercial where the guy, it's Joey Votto sitting in the bathroom with one of the ESPN guys, and he's like, I'm going to win that mustache contest this year. And then the Cincinnati Reds mascot with the big old mustache comes out. Yeah, I'd like to see who's got the bigger stash there.
It would have to be that fan. I mean, Mr. Red or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good stash, but the guy that sits in left field, that is a God, he's probably been growing that thing since the 40s.
You think he like shampoos it and washes it?
Oh, you'd have to.
What, are you gonna put VO5 in there and just that's how I get my curl?
Hot oil treatment.
Yeah. Does he do hot rollers?
Yeah. think we're out of time, and probably good for good reason. Any listener comments or questions, email the show at thecrawfishboxes@gmail.com. Did you guys have any last words? Or
no, that mustache pretty much took the... It's going to give me nightmares tonight.
We need to go.
I'm good.
That.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, well, thank you, and we'll see you next time on the TCB podcast.